There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. The R&B trio SWV, Sisters with Voices, performs live at MGM National Harbor near Washington, D.C. on Sunday night. I spoke with founding member Lili Lyons about the group's biggest hits from Weak to Right Here / Human Nature. Hey, Lili Lyons. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in D.C.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are talking because your very famous R&B vocal trio, SWV, Sisters with Voices, is coming to the MGM National Harbor here in Oxon Hill, Maryland, just across the river from D.C., right near here, the nation's capital, on Sunday. So only a couple more days to get tickets. But hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to be here. I'm excited about the show on Sunday. You know, D.C. always give us a good time. That's one of our biggest markets, the DMV area. And we're just so excited that we're able to do it on our own at this particular moment. So this show is very special for us.
I can always tell when the artist actually knows the D.C. area when they say the whole DMV area. When they speak like us here in town, then I know they know what's up.
I love it.
So what all can we expect from the actual show? Like, I assume it's the greatest hits sprinkled in from over the years. Is there anything new? What we got?
Oh man, it's a celebration. You know, sometimes, you know, they have this saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So we're gonna give you so many throwback songs. We're going to give you some album cuts as well as all the hits, the Weeks, the I'm So Into Yous, the Right Here, and just kind of take you back into that moment when you first heard SWV. Now, I don't know if you know, but we're actually celebrating our 31st anniversary in the music business. So it's a celebration, you know, it's a celebration of creatives, artistry, musicianship, and community. Like, we just, well, this is a big deal for us, this show. So we want to sell this thing out and just show our girl power that we're here to stay and we love our fans for sure.
Awesome. That's so good. Well, hopefully it will sell out if people hear this on the radios. That's the goal for you. So, all right. So, and by the way, real quick, I do want to get into some of the, you know, the groups, your history and backstory and go through some of the hits that you mentioned. But real quick, one more on the actual show. Like, I know it's the holiday season because we're in almost mid December now. And I remember you all had a Christmas album, like in 97, I think, a special Christmas. So do you mix in any holiday tunes the show, or is it more just the, you know, the regular hits that we remember from the radio?
No, unfortunately, we don't do a lot, any Christmas songs. But that's, hey, you might be on to something here.
I mean, if you want to just drop one in at the end, or like an encore or something, you know, Christmas season, I'm just saying, you can go back to that special Christmas album and bust it out for us, you know?
maybe.
Well, you don't have to. It was just a thought. But how'd you end up meeting Cheryl Coco Gamble and Tamara Taj George and yourself? How did it come together?
Oh my God. After 31 years, I think everybody should know that question by now. But what happened was, when we first started, which I am the visionary behind the SWV brand. So I found Coco found Taj, and that's how we, and you know, of course, the in-betweens, we had other girls who were potentials, but we kind of landed with us three, which is great. When we were rehearsing initially, you know, Coco's mom, who was heavily in a church, even today, in order for us to rehearse at her house, we had to fake like we were a gospel group. We had to sing gospel songs because that was the only way she would allow us to use her house for rehearsal.
Gotcha.
So, but when she walked out, when mom walked out the door, we was, you know, we was R&Bing it up and doing our little R&B thing. So it was just like this thing we had to make up in order for her mom to allow us to rehearse. But the secret is out now. So,
All right. So you're saying there were never any actual initial designs to be a gospel group. It was just more an excuse to get together and cut some R&B songs. Nice.
Yes. No, not at all, honey. They would have kicked me out the church back then. Honey, they wouldn't even let us in the church back then. We were so crazy and off the chain. But,
gotcha.
But yeah, that was the story behind that, of course. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, tell me about that big breakthrough album, It's About Time, in 92. I mean, it immediately made you household names, put you on the map. I want to mention a couple of the songs. You mentioned I'm So Into You. Do you remember memories of how that song came together?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, actually we came to our record label with our own set of songs, and our A&R at the time, Kenny Ortiz, of course, he listened to the songs, but he didn't really like the song. So Brian Morgan was a producer who wasn't really known, but he was known for doing like a lot of club songs. Like he worked with the great Martha Wash and a whole lot of other different people, but he wasn't as popular. But Kenny Ortiz gave him an opportunity to work with this group that he thought was just so amazing. And that group is us, of course. And he gave us I'm So Into You Week right here and all of those amazing songs that you guys love. But yeah, it was just as easy as listening to the song. And sometimes I just feel like as an artist and creative, music have to be a marriage. Like, I don't think you could take a song from another artist and just throw it at another artist. And even though some people work like that, but we don't. And that's why the songs have lived as long as it has right now, because there was a musical marriage between SWV, Brian Morgan, the producer, and those lyrics and that song.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for the backstory there. And is it true that for Right Here, the Right Here / Human Nature, did obviously it samples Michael Jackson's Human Nature. Did you have to reach out to the King of Pop for permission to do that? Or how did that actually work out?
Well, of course, yeah, you have to do things the right way. But we had a little cheat sheet named Teddy Riley, who had a relationship with Michael Jackson. And we found out that Michael was a fan of SWV. So that made it a lot better and easier for us to. He just loved the song and we didn't have to pay for it. It was just his gift to us. So we are very appreciative of that. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. He let you use it, you know, without having to pay for it. That's great.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we mentioned Right Here, Human Nature, and I'm So Into You. And before we move off that album, we got to hit Week, because I think that was probably the biggest hit of all of them. I think it topped not only R&B chart, but like the actual overall Billboard chart as well. So, obviously you couldn't have predicted that it would do that, but you know, in the studio, did you at least have a sense that, okay, this is something at least a little special here?
You know what? When you're recording a song as an artist, every song is special. You think every song is like, oh, this is it right here. It was just another song we recorded. Of course, when we heard it was so beautiful, but we never knew, we never could imagine that it would have the lifespan that it's had for so long. And everywhere we look, like social media just kind of made that song just something different. It's just breathing new life into that record, and everybody love it. I mean, it's one of those songs that will never go away. And look, we're 31 years later and people still love that song. That song is as relevant now than it was in 1992. So I am forever grateful. And I know a lot of artists, you know, they take things like that lightly, but whenever you get a masterpiece such as Week,
yeah,
and people appreciate it, and fans are continuously showing how special that song is, or whatever moment it was that song just kind of made you cry or made you fall in love or want to be in love, or anything, however it made you feel, it's a beautiful thing. And you know, a lot of artists, you know, they go on stage and we do this all the time. We sing the same song all the time, but every time we do that song is a different experience every time.
That's so great that it's still, and you're right, it'll be around forever. All right, cool. And then I guess because of the success of that, you get nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys in 94, and I guess you quote unquote lose to Toni Braxton, but there's no winners and losers in this thing. It's all just honoring the best of the music.
Oh yeah, it is.
I hate when people pit against each other. But any fun memories of Grammy night, or did you congratulate Toni Braxton afterwards? I don't know, any fun stories from that first big Grammy experience?
Child, if it's anybody that's deserving, that was deserving of a Grammy, even in that moment, is Toni Braxton. But of course, I mean, when you put so many great creatives who have amazing songs in one space and you can only come out with one winner, I mean, of course, you want to take home the trophy. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's like that friendly competition. Like, you know, I don't even think we liked Toni Braxton for the first 30 seconds when she won that award. But, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's just what it is. You know, you want to take, and we were young. Of course, we felt like we were deserving. And we still feel like the Grammys didn't really do us right. Even to this day, but I really believe and I hope that they find it in their heart to give this song at least week. Yeah. Week deserve it is deserving of that honor, and we make music to take that trophy.
Yeah, I love that. If you're not competitive, then what are you doing? No, it's a friendly rivalry.
Man, I don't care what nobody say. Everybody want to win, of course. You, because when Toni Braxton, when we all win, it's a community win, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you still want to be able to hold that trophy in your hand and say, wow, you know, we are appreciated. We belong here. This is a beautiful, we work so hard. We're deserving of this. So it's almost like when you don't win, you feel like the Academy did not feel that you were deserving of that honor. And it kind of gives you like this really weird feeling. But one thing I always tell aspiring artists, you can't do it for that. You can't do it for the win all the time, because you're not always going to win. You know, you have to love the music first. You have to love it. I mean, that music have to be a marriage within your heart and your soul, because sometimes the money may not come. Sometimes the accolades may not come, but you still have that guitar. You still have that microphone. You still have your gift. And one day your gift will make room for you. And you have to believe that. So that's why we're here today doing what we do. We love to do. We love our fans so much and our supporters. We're celebrating 31 years, and we're standing in the gap for all of those girl groups who didn't make it, who are watching us now and showing them that, hey, you know, you may go through some things, but hey, you can get past those things. And at the end of the day, it's all about the music and the people that put you here. And that's the fans.
Absolutely, and you won in the fans' mind. Even if you hear "You Mean the World to Me" on the radio, you have to probably shut it off. After. It took you a second to breathe again. But anyway.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
I know we don't have time to go through all the albums, obviously, but I guess I did want to know, like, did you feel any pressure coming off of that? It was so huge, Grammy nominated, all those hits we already mentioned. When you were putting together that second one, New Beginning, with You're the One on it, I mean, which is another big hit, but did you feel any pressure, or is it just more freeing, like, you know, okay, now we're a household name, we can kind of do what we want?
No, I never think we felt that way. We have never went in the studio and thought about that when it came to our body of work. If we didn't feel the song, we were not doing it, because believe you me, a lot of known producers that you guys love today sent us music and we rejected it because we didn't feel it. You know, and back then they were so easy to just have a track that they wrote for somebody else and just kind of thought, oh, I got this available here. They don't create the track behind the artist, you know? So we never do music that we don't feel. Never. Never. So whenever we go in the studio and we do a song, it's a well thought out decision. And we feel like it's something that the fans are going to appreciate because they come first. And that's the bottom line. They come first.
Absolutely. Well, I guess, you know, you did release some Tension in 97 and I Missed Us in 2012. And then I guess you get nominated again for Best Traditional R&B Performance for If You Only Knew and lose again to Beyonce, Love on Top. So Beyonce is the new Toni Braxton.
Oh, my God. You know, the girl. But you know what? I mean, of course, who gets mad at that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Who gets mad at that? Like, I mean, I think it becomes a badge of honor. Like, oh my God, I lost against Beyonce. Like, that's, are you kidding me?
Yeah. If you, Toni Braxton and Beyonce are two good ones to, runner up to.
Oh, it's a great loss. I'm telling you, like, it's a celebratory loss for sure.
Yeah. But like we said earlier, though, you know, like we said, there is no winners and losers, honestly. It's all for the fans, and they were happy to see you come back with another album still in 2016 and all the stuff you've done since. I mean, you've been really generous with your time. I just want to sort of say before we go, like, what's it like to sort of be at the point of the career now? You mentioned, 30 plus years now. To finally sort of get, you're kind of at that point where these career honors, lifetime achievement kind of stuff is coming in, like the Lady of Soul Award at the Soul Train Awards. Like, you're starting to get recognized for the overall body of work. Like, do you sit back and think like, hey, we're an important trio. We paved the way for TLC or Destiny's Child or any of these other groups, the trios and stuff that followed. Like, do you view yourself sort of as sort of, you know, trailblazers in that regard?
Oh, absolutely. You know, while I do still think that we have a lot of work to do, and I know my position, I know our position in this industry. I know we deserve to be here. I know we deserve every honor. Some I feel is way overdue, but, you know, patience is a virtue. And you have a lot of these younger groups who give us our props. Like, we see them all the time and they like, oh my God, you guys have paved the way for so many people, such just like, you know, the older groups have paved the way for us. So I always mention in our show that it's so important. I don't care who you follow, who you love. It's always important. If you're a creative, you're a singer, do your homework. It's always important to pay homage to the people who were there before. Give them their flowers, you know? And I think we've done a great job doing that, you know, with the remakes, If Only You Knew, and all of those things, because Patti LaBelle is a living legend. And it's our job, it's our duty to make sure that we let these young people know where we came from.
Exactly, because I truly believe that there is no past or present or future. I think it all speaks to each other, you know, back and forth throughout the generations. People are sampling back and forth and getting inspired all the time. And you need to know your history so that, you know, maybe one day someone else will know the history that SWV did their thing and is continuing to do their thing. You know, it all.
I think they know. I think they really know. I just think the industry need to catch on, because right now it's the industry, the fans know, it's the industry needs to catch up, because right now we are living in a time, it's not about talent, it's not about how great you are. I mean, if I can keep it 100, it's about who you're sleeping with, who's doing who's pregnant, and it's become very chaotic. It's the industry. What it is today, even media has become one big circus, and it's so unfair. And to be a part of a moment 30 something years ago where you had real journalists, you had people who really study who you are, it's depressing to see that anybody can stand in that shadow.
Oh yeah, I was speaking to just to echo piggyback what you said. I'll never forget when I went and covered the Oscars. I'm primarily a movie critic here, and when I was I watched all the movies, and you know I can name any year any movie came out throughout history. I'm so into it. I'm all excited, and you'd be blown away that when you're standing on that red carpet, how many of the people have not seen the movies? They're there like, I'm like, what are you doing? It's really depressing, but hopefully
it's a job. It's a job. Everybody just, no one does their homework. It's just so depressing and sad.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can have some combos like this every now and then, and talk a little deeper on some of these songs. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with you. So.
Oh man, me too. This has been amazing. Thank you so much.
And yes, everybody, there's only a couple days left. So everybody get your tickets now. It's SWV at MGM National Harbor in here, right near Washington, D.C. on Sunday. So you got to get your tickets now.
Yeah. So after church, y'all put on your little 90s gear, come out and have a good time. I mean, this show is amazing. Like, we really wanted to give our fans something that they would never forget. So you're going to see I can't give everything away, but you know, it's going to be amazing. That's all I can say. And this is a very, very special show for us, because this is our show alone. So we need everybody to come out, get your tickets now. And I just look forward to meeting everybody. Like, I love on whoever want to love on me. And I love to just make that connection with the fans. So I want to see who you are. I want to meet you guys. So get your tickets now and come and have some fun with the Sisters with Voices.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.